الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقال تعالى في مقام آخر: يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. As some of you moments ago has heard
the Adhan is the call of prayer.
And the call of prayer has words in it that links us and attempts to link the individual with undoubtedly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the brothers behind the wall asked me that he is taught the Adhan in school, and why when the Adhan is given in the masjid is different from the way they are given in school. And it is not that it is given differently, but there are rules of tajweed that also apply to adhan, and that's what you are talking about. For example, Allah in the Quran says, regarding a believer, He says, Allah takhafu. Allah takhafu means that those that are believers, they don't have fear. It doesn't say, Anna la takhafu. Because in Arabic, there is a thing that joins. And because of the joining, there's a fusion of things that take place. And because of the fusion that takes place, an la becomes Allah. And therefore, the adhan that you heard, some people have a habit of saying, Ashhadu anna la. And it happens out of, how can I say it, out of habit. Because when a person speaks Arabic, there are certain things they take for granted. For example, when an Arab speaks another Arab, he'll say anta, he'll say anti. When he says anti, it doesn't mean the person is a female, it's still a male. But they get caught up in the everyday, just like a person who speaks English. When you say WhatsApp, it doesn't mean I must WhatsApp or must look up. It means how are things. So there is what is known as formal English, such as good morning, how are you? And likewise, in formal Arabic, it will be always be, as the student brought up, you are right, in formal Arabic and proper Arabic, as the tradition of Adhan goes, you are absolutely right, it is Ashhadu an la ilaha and not Ashhadu anna la ilaha. So inshallah, Brother Tariq, when other people give Adhan, he will probably give them a small test before they come, because this is an important thing. Now, to you it may seem like, you know, we are nitpicking. We are not nitpicking. Ashhadu an la ilaha is part of Iman. I'm not going to say this to Brother Tariq, but if you sometimes make a mistake on the template of Iman, not in his case, but in the case of other people, it can affect the outcome of your Iman as well. Therefore, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah means I testify. Not only the words that I'm saying are correct and in a correct manner, but I testify also that there is none worthy of worship except Allah. Parents are not to be worshipped. Children are not to be worshipped. Careers are not to be worshipped. Financials are not to be worshipped. We respect some of those things. Respecting is very different from worship. And that ties me in with today's talk that we are going to have, where Allah inspires our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and all prophets are inspired by their Creator. And the Prophet of Allah said the following: a Muslim is that individual in which other individuals are safe from. Their hands, others are safe from. Their tongue, others are safe from. And my brothers and sisters in Islam, one thing we have to give credit to Western nations, including America, is that when children are hurt in the families, when children are abused in the families, they try to find a way to take the child and give the child safety. Now, the manner in which they may do it, sometimes is not correct. The methods used, we understand, sometimes are questionable. But the idea of giving safety and security to another life is an essential part of Islam. You know, people always ask me, America takes part and the Western world takes part in so many violations, United Nations violations, human rights violations, especially with other countries. And how is it, if Allah is so merciful and so great, then how is it that we are still so happy as a people? We are still so safe as a people. This reminds me of a simple hadith. So long as you take care of your elderly, and in America there are centers that take care of the elderly, so long as you take care of your animals, and I think Americans are the only people in the world that actually had the animals inheriting from them. We say this humorously, but they are giving rights to animals. They are saying that when I die, because this cat or this dog or this whatever it is, it was good to me, I want this dog, cat, lion or tiger to continue living happily even after my death. We're not questioning the sensibility or the logic of this. But Allah is looking at this person and saying, you took care of an animal? You are wanting to ensure the safety of an animal? And the hadith makes it very clear. If it was not for the elderly, if it was not for the animals that cannot speak, I would have ruined each one of you. And America and Western nations, they take a great pride in animal rights. That's why some people say animals have more rights than humans. They may be doing it for a worldly purpose, but Allah instructs us to do it for a spiritual purpose, because the spirituality is linked to our worldly purpose. So the hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ says, a Muslim is that individual from whom others, their tongue is safe, from whom others, their hands are safe. If I'm not mistaken, well, I will not quote the Sahabi's name, but there is a Sahabi. You know, he narrated many, many hadith, thousands of hadith, and his hadith are seen in Bukhari, Muslim, and many other places. These are considered authentic books. Authentic meaning that we give them a lot of priority when we are to derive rules, regulations, and actions. And Rasulullah ﷺ asked him, what hadith has most inspired you? What hadith do you think can encapsulate religion? What hadith you feel represents all the hadith you put together? And for our guest, hadith means traditions of the Prophet. And every Prophet had words, and those words would be considered at times tradition. Now, of course, there's a technical aspect of tradition. Tradition can mean words, tradition also means action, etc., etc., but we're keeping it simple. And he said, the hadith that influenced me most is the hadith regarding the tongue. Is the hadith regarding the tongue. You know, I met a brother. I said, so why? And normally, by the way, I don't do this out of habit. It just so happened, someone passed away in my family. And because in my family someone passed away, that day I decided to write my will. Because I figured, you know, nobody lives forever. So I wrote my will, and in there, what I own, what I don't own, all my debts, etc. So it happened, I met this brother, and I said, brother, you don't come to the masjid that much anymore, salah with jama'ah, used to come all the time. And he says, before that he said, and you know, my business is not very good, Imam, make dua. I said, inshallah, I'll make dua, but why don't you come? Now let's talk about the tongue, how someone's tongue ruined this guy. So I said, why don't you come? And he said, I was in the taxi line. You know, they have a taxi line at the airport where you go. And in that taxi line, we were talking about you. I said, alhamdulillah, mashallah. Then I said, but maybe that's why you're not doing very good in your business. He says, no. Let's not put it that way. I said, you are supposed to be taking people from the airport to wherever, and you're talking about me. It doesn't add up. He says, Imam, I heard certain things about your finances, and you are a very, very wealthy Imam. And, you know, and I figured, how can I be with an Imam that is squandering the people's wealth? I said, brother, come to the office right now. I took him to the office. I said, you know, this was not planned. Here's my will. Open the will. And this brother started crying. I'm not saying I'm a poor person, by the way. No, no, no. He got a shock of his life. Owe money to so-and-so. Owns this, this, this. Despite owning this and this, so-and-so has to be paid upon his death if this and this is sold. He says, Imam, I'm really sorry. I said, forget about being sorry. You ruined your iman because of somebody else's tongue. You are ruining your iman because of what somebody else said to you. Shaitan made that person say certain things without total facts. That person said it. Because of that, you are depriving yourself from the path of Allah. You're depriving yourself from salah with jama'ah. You're depriving yourself to be with other Muslims, Muslims that are poor, rich, etc. I said, was this fair? And this is what the hadith is talking about. That don't say things that ruins your faith and ruins the faith of other individuals. That is why in the Quran, Allah talks about salah. But the Qasam, you know Arabic. Does Allah tell you how to pray? No, he doesn't tell you exactly how to pray. Allah talks about zakat. But Tariq, you know Arabic. Does he tell you 2.5%? He doesn't tell you 2.5%. Haji Saab knows a lot about religion. Does he tell you about jamarat and how to pelt shaitan in hajj and all those things? Does he tell you all that? He's smart. He just looks at me. He doesn't want to comment. No, he doesn't tell you all that. But Allah tells you something else. When it comes to relationships, He goes out of His way. And He says, when you're taking a loan, make sure you have witnesses. Before you go into someone else's house, make sure you knock on the door. They don't open your door. Don't go inside. They could be busy. It tells you about how you must be with your wife. Certain times, in social aspects, you cannot be with her. Certain times, you can be with her. It tells you about miras, how to distribute your wealth. Imagine, regarding salah, Allah doesn't say, 2 rakats like this, 4 rakats like that, stand like this, stand like that. When you go to give your charity, exactly only 2.5%. No, no, no. What is the point here? Allah is saying something very powerful. It is through your social relationships. If you don't be careful, you will destroy your iman, you will destroy your community, you will destroy your relationship with Allah, you will destroy your spirituality. This is how beautiful our religion is. So the hadith is saying, O believers, watch your tongue and watch your hands. Because it is through your tongue and through your hands, you will ruin relationships. You will destroy things out there. One girl, she doesn't want to be a Muslim. She doesn't want to be a Muslim. I said, why you don't want to be a Muslim? Because when I took $3 from my father's wallet, he didn't speak to me for 2 months. He says, you are a thief, he told her. I'm not saying she wasn't a thief. He's trying to pass a different message. That, oh, my daughter don't steal. She said, if my dad doesn't care about me, then why should I be a Muslim? And because of that, the things that she is doing is ruining her iman and now the iman of her brothers and sisters as well. So what I'm saying is, it's not that a father must not help his daughters and sons. It's not that he must not guide them. But he has to become conscious of the manner in which he presents that information. Because that child is waiting to go off on a cliff. That child is waiting for an opportunity not to pray. That child is waiting for an opportunity to ignore the Quran. And shaitan is waiting for the opportunity where you will say wrong things and he will exploit the situation. So the hadith says, I keep on repeating it, a Muslim is that individual whose tongue and hands others are safe from. So my brothers and sisters in Islam, Let us focus on this social side of our religion by trying to be better with people with our tongue, with being honest with people with our tongue, with safeguarding and bridging relationships, not using the tongue in a way that will create further disruption in society. You know, there was a scholar that used to say to people, if you want to become a saint, then go to other scholars and other institutions. That's what he used to say to them. If you want to become a saint, and this is something everybody wants to become, I want to become a good person, in the sense that I want to become connected with my Allah. It sounds wonderful. When a child is born, they bring the child to the Sheikh. Sheikh, pray that my child becomes the Allama of the time. This scholar said it very beautifully. If you want to become the most brilliant scholar, you want your child to become the who's who on the religious list, I'm afraid I cannot help your child in that regard. But if you want your child to become a good human, a child that will respect his wife and his husband or husband, a child that will respect the parents, a child that will be good to the children, a child that will make their children the very best, you want to become a man in which the angels and the fish in the sea say, wow, amen, ameen, that so-and-so is a good individual, and all our Creator accept the du'as of that person, I will make you that individual that can be that individual or produce children like that. What is the scholar talking about? I'm going to help you on how to use your tongue in a way that will produce a loving and cordial society. So today's khutbah is very, very simple, my brothers and sisters. Inshallah, next week, maybe we'll continue on this topic, but there is so much about it. We will conclude with the following note. We have created irreparable damage because of this tongue and because of sometimes the signatures this hand took place in. It's not the end of the world. Now it's time for us to reflect. How can I use this tongue? If you have lived for 30 years doing things that were wrong and using the tongue in a wrong way, how can I use the next 30 years to bridge bonds with this tongue? In a halal way, of course. How can I bridge and how can I use this tongue to be honest? How can I use this tongue to be integral? How can I use this tongue to make me closer to Allah and help me use this tongue to bring people closer to me and my Allah? And inshallah, if we did that, Allah will bless us in this world, bless our community, bless our family, bless our societies, and make us, inshallah, a better group of people. May Allah help us and guide us at all times. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.